Indonesian police have arrested six suspected Islamic State supporters who are allegedly preparing terror attacks for later this month in a series of raids across Java. Indonesia's special anti-terror unit uncovered bomb-making materials and a black IS-style flag. Those arrested included a teacher at an Islamic school and one of his students. The National Police Chief says that Densus 88, that's the anti-terror unit, acted after information received from the Australian Federal Police and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. He said the men appeared to have prepared imminent attacks in Java and Sumatra. Of course, this sets the scene for a meeting later today between the Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop, the Defence Minister, Maurice Payne, and their Indonesian counterparts. Associate Professor Greg Feely from the Australian National University is an expert in Indonesian politics. He joins me now. Very good morning to you.
Good morning, Hamish.
Certainly raises the stakes somewhat, having all of this as the background to those ministerial meetings. There's a lot of pressure on Australian ministers to stitch back together the relationship with this Indonesian government. Does this background perhaps provide them the opportunity to do that?
It's certainly convenient timing for them. In addition to the meeting between the foreign ministers and defence ministers of both countries that are taking place in Australia, we also have a delegation to Jakarta led by Senator Brandis and also accompanied by Justice Minister Michael Keenan. So in fact, there are two separate groups of almost simultaneous ministerial meetings taking place in the two countries. And I think that must almost be a first, I think. And that meeting that Senator Brandis is leading is specifically to talk about counterterrorism. So I think this is an indication of the return to the kind of relationship that the federal government has wanted now since the executions issue was, if I can say, put behind it. So I think this is one reason why Foreign Minister Julie Bishop has been speaking in very positive terms about this.
From the Indonesian government's point of view, is there a willingness now to cooperate with Australia in these areas of mutual interest, as has historically been the case?
On some of these matters, for example, on counterterrorism, there's always been fairly high-level cooperation. And indeed, one question that I would have is how much more can be done, because one of the things that will be signed in Australia is a memorandum of understanding on terrorism issues. And there's already very close contact between Australian Federal Police and their Indonesian counterparts. There's also regular intelligence exchanges. But nonetheless, if the signing of these kinds of agreements help to lock in Indonesians into more settled institutional contacts with Australia, that's no bad thing.
But this would... This moment would no doubt, though, be of particular concern to the President, Jokowi. There was great success under the previous President, Yudhoyono, in terms of dealing with counterterrorism. In particular, they decided not to shut down the network of pesantrans, the Islamic boarding schools. They didn't go as hard against Jamaah Islamiyah as there was pressure to do so, in the belief that by keeping them above ground, this might help to reduce the threat of violent extremism. Does that now need to be reconsidered?
Well, I think there's, in a way, there's two stories here, Hamish. The first is the story that concerns Jamaah Islamiyah and the Yudhoyono government, the earlier periods of the Yudhoyono government. And indeed, everything is as you describe it. The government didn't ban JI, and in fact, it quite often made out as if JI was a foreign problem, not an Indonesian problem. And that was done for a number of reasons, but one of them was also political, because it didn't want to alienate the Islamic community. All of that changed with the emergence of IS, of the Islamic State, or ISIS, and particularly from early 2014, where some quite senior Indonesian Muslim figures began pledging allegiance to ISIS. And that drew an unparalleled response, an unprecedented response from the Indonesian government. They did very quickly. Yudhoyono very quickly came out and banned ISIS in August of 2014. And there was very swift government action to try and move publicly to delegitimize ISIS. And that's continued somewhat under Jokowi. Jokowi is much less interested in terrorism issues and encountering them than Yudi Yono was. But nonetheless, the police have had a lot of government support in their continuing anti-terrorism campaigns, and they are amongst the most successful police and counter-terrorism campaigns of any country in the world.
We're running out of time, so just very quickly before we hit the news, a lot of concern about President Jokowi's mettle. Does he have the mettle? As you say, he's less interested in terms of counter-terrorism than what SBY was. Does he have the mettle to deal with this?
At the moment, he's giving every sign of backing the police when they arrest terrorists and prosecute them, and I think there's strong public support for that. So I don't think that's a concern. One difference between him and Yudi Yono is that Jokowi has a much narrower range of issues that he focuses on, and Australia, when it goes to talk to him about a broad array of matters, they find that he's a whole lot less engaged. He's less intellectually interested in those issues than what Yudi Yono was. So okay, it's okay if we're talking about things like infrastructure and maritime affairs. You'll always have his interest. When you're talking about broader diplomatic issues, that's a harder matter.
I'll have to leave it there. Greg Feely from the ANU, thank you very much.